So we're going to read from Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 23, verse number 15. We're going to say word by word and then we're going to say that. Utaspayams tu tam murdhani kamyeva vishyaha nirus pishaha vayam vayuhu kristuhu kitam. Eyes are giving up. Tejas, Tejasi, Ayuyujat. Utsara payaham stutam murdhani. Uttaras payam stutam murdhani. Karmayana Vishyaha Niruspita Karmayana Vishyaha Niruspita Vayum Vayuhu Kritistu Karatayam Vayum Vayuhu Kristahu Kayam Tejas Tejasi Abhiyujata Utsaraya Payam Stutam Murdhani Karmayena Vishyaha Niruspriyasaha Vayum Vayu Kritahu Kayam Tejas Tejasi Ayuyujat Utsara Payam Tutam Murdhani Karmena Veshaha Niruspriha Vayum Vayu Kristahu Kayam Tejas Tejasi Ayuyujat. Utstarpayaham has placing two part tam the air murdhani in the head karmenaha gradually aveshyaha placing nirupishaha being freed from all material desires vayum the air portion of the body, Vayu, in the total air covering the universe, Kristo, in the total covering of the earth, Kayam, the material body, Tejas, the fire in the body, Tejasi, in the total fire of the material covering, Ayuyujat, mixed. So, translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. In this way, Prithvi Maharaj gradually raised his air of life up to the holes in his skull. Whereupon he lost all desires for material existence. Gradually he merged his air of life with the totality of the air, his body with the totality of earth, and the fire within his body with the totality of the fire. When the spiritual spark, which is described as 1/10,000th part of the tip of the hair, is forced into material existence, the spark is covered by gross and stable material elements. The material body is composed of 5 gross elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether, and 3 stable elements, mind, intelligence and ego. When one attains liberation, he is freed from the material covering. Indeed, success is in yoga involves getting free from these material coverings and entering into spiritual existence. Lord Buddha's teaching of Nirvana are based on this principle. Lord Buddha instructed his followers to give up those material coverings by means of meditations and yoga. Lord Buddha did not give any information about the soul, but if one follows his instructions strictly, he will ultimately become free from the material covering and attain Nirvana. When a living entity gives up the material covering, he remains a spirit soul. The spirit soul must enter into the spiritual sky to merge into the Brahman effulgence. Unfortunately, unless the living entity has information of the spiritual world and the Vaikuntha, there is a 99.9% chances of his falling down again into material existence. There is, however, a small chance of being promoted to the spiritual plane from the Brahman effulgence or the Brahma Jyoti. This Brahma Jyoti is considered by impersonalists to be without variety, and the Buddhists consider it to be void. In either case, whether one accepts the spiritual sky as being without variety or void, there is none of the spiritual bliss which is enjoyed in the spiritual planets, the Vaikuntha and Krishna Lord. In the absence of varieties of enjoyment, the spirit soul gradually feels an attraction to enjoy a life of bliss. Not having any information of the Krishna Lok or Vaikuntha Lok, he naturally falls down into material bliss in order to enjoy the material varieties. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnana Arjuna Shalakaya Chakshurul Miltam Yenam Tasmai Sri Gurve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Swayam Padantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Dapadakam Sri Guru Vaishnavamsta Sri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagna Raghunatam Pitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadhvaitam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So in Bhagavad Gita, chapter 5, where Krishna actually talks about, in chapter 2 he talks about, gives a conclusion of the whole Bhagavad Gita. So Srimad Bhagavatam is an extension of whatever is taught in Bhagavad Gita. So Bhagavad Gita is a conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam speaks the same thing, but gives more elaboration and it is in the form of a story. So by actually understanding that, we are trying to actually get the same knowledge, but understand it in a better way. As for Gaudiya Sampradayas, our process of self-realization is generally Sankirtan, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the songs or the literatures of the Goswamis or the Acharyas. So those are our processes. Different sampradayas have different processes. They use different things. Just like the Sri Sampradayas, the devotionship is the most important thing. Like that. So ours is Sankirtan. That's what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us. Srimad Bhagavatam. And the literatures of the Goswamis or the Acharyas. So here Srila Prabhupada tells us, what you have to understand is there is basically three processes in Bhagavad Gita. In third chapter, Krishna talks about Karma Yoga. So what is Karma Yoga? Karma Yoga is when you are actually, let's talk about what karma is. Karma is when you are doing some activity, and who is the result for? It is for yourself. Right? Karma Yoga is you're doing the same thing, activity, but you offer it to Krishna. So somehow or the other you are connecting whatever you are doing to Krishna. Right? It is good, it's not perfect. But still, why? Because we are still doing it for ourselves. So just like at home, you know, you cook something. You don't think, okay, I'm going to cook today something that Krishna likes. I'm going to cook something that I like it, my kids like it, my husband likes it. So it is for you. And then you offer it to Krishna. So it becomes prasadam. Does that make sense? Right. Then Jnana Yoga. Jnana Yoga is trying to understand. So you have to understand in Krishna and Bhagavad Gita chapter 13 tells what is knowledge is. Knowledge is to understand what chit is, achit is, and Ishwar is. So what is chit? Chit means consciousness. Consciousness means the soul. Right? What is achit? So if chit is consciousness, achit is, there is no consciousness. And that is the material world. Right? And then Ishwara. So chit has knowledge about these bodies. So I am a soul and I have knowledge about this body. I can't understand the other bodies. Right? But Ishwar has knowledge of all the bodies. Sense? So you have to understand this. Right? Most of the jnanis, what they do is they understand, some of them understands what the soul is. For example, Srila Prabhupada talks about the Buddhists. So Buddhists, what do they think? Everything is illusion. They do not understand what the soul is. They understand that we are not this body. Right? So in the end, because if you are not attracted to the material elements, because if you say, okay, I don't want to be in the material world, so what do? At the end of life, when you leave your body, you get out of this material world. Right? Okay? But they don't understand that they are the soul, and they don't understand there is a super soul, or there is an Ishwara, there is a God. So they think they are void. There is nothing. So at the end of life, everything is finished. Right? I hate this, but I don't know. So those people who actually, when they leave the body, they go at the, you know, the Gardai ocean, right at the bottom, where there's all mud, all the field, that's where they go. Right? So it's really bad. There's nothing in there. There's no enjoyment. They give themselves up. Right? Then the yogis, they believe that there's a soul. But they have this desire, or the reason why we are in this material world is because we want to be God. We want to be the controller and we want to be the enjoyer. So they don't want to give this thing up. Because as soon as you say, I am a servant of God, so what does that mean? You go, you are doing something for somebody else's pleasure. Right? They don't want to keep that. They want to be the enjoyer. That's the reason why they came to this material world. So they hang on to that idea that I am the God. Right? Okay? And what they try to do? But they don't like this material world. They know this, I'm not this material world. So at the end of the life, when they leave their body, where do they go? They go and join into the Brahmand, right? Or the Brahma Jyoti. Now where is Brahma Jyoti? Brahma Jyoti is in between the material world and the spiritual world. So they are neither there, they are neither here. But what is the constitutional position of the soul? Satchit Anand, right? Anand. Anand means bliss. So, what does the soul want to do after one? I want to enjoy it. Now, if you want to enjoy it, can you do it on your own? For how long? Yeah, you might entertain yourself. But eventually you need interaction. That means we need relationship. And there is nothing in there. So what do? They come back there. As Srila Prabhupada said, 99.9%. That's a very big number, right? You do so much effort, and in the end, what do? You come back. Right? So that's the second process. That process is the Dhyana Yoga. So there are 8 stages to it. The first 6 stages basically deals with karma, because it has nothing to do with God. All you're trying to do is do different types of exercises so you can sit down in one place and do meditation. Right? How to control your breathing. Eventually the idea is to control the mind. Right? And then you sit down in one place and do dhyana. So when you do dhyana, you are meditating on the super soul. Make sense? So what is the position of the super soul? Does super soul directly interact with us? He is a silent observer. So when you look at him, he's there, you look at it, right? But the desire to be the enjoyer and the controller is still there. So what they still try to do is merge into him. Right? But to do that, right, to get out of this material, because they don't want to enjoy the material world, there's a lot of restrictions. And what they do is take the life air to the head, and when the time is right, so it has to be, the sun has to be on the northern side, it has to be daytime and things like that, and then you leave your body at an appropriate time. And when you leave your body, you go to the spiritual world. But where do they go? They go to the Brahmajyoti place. Why? Because they don't have a relationship with God. The only way we can go to the spiritual world is if we have a relationship. Does it make sense? If you do not have a relationship with Krishna, if you do not have a relationship with Lord Narayan, you cannot go to Vaikuntha, you cannot go to Krishna Loka. So then Krishna says, devotional service is the highest level. Now, a lot of people, when we think of devotional service, they think devotional service is separate. What devotional service is the combination of these three, right? So you have to do your activity in knowledge, right? Meditating on the super soul. But the most important thing is that it has to be for the pleasure of the Lord. That's the most important thing, right? It is not for your pleasure, it is for the Lord's pleasure. So if you keep that in mind, if you understand that, as Srila Prabhupada said, we are 1/10,000 of the tip of the hair. Right? It's very difficult to even see the tip of the hair. Now you divide that into 10,000 parts, and that's how big we are. That's the size of the soul. Right? So we are insignificant. But we understand the soul is 7 inches? Super soul? Size of a thumb, right? So even that, you can see that, right? But the soul is insignificant, right? So this is how we have to understand this. This is the knowledge you have to get. We are insignificant. The only way to enjoy is if you are connected ourselves to Krishna. Otherwise, we can't actually do it. Right? So, for example, if you want nutrition to actually get to your body, right? So what do? You eat, right? So it goes to the stomach. If the stomach gets the right food, then what happens? It goes to rest of your body. Similarly, if you want happiness, if you want bliss, if you want anything, if Krishna is happy, then everybody becomes happy. Now you might have heard of that pastimes. Just trying to elaborate on this point. If Krishna is happy or if Krishna is satisfied, then everybody becomes satisfied. Now you have that pastime about Draupadi. Duryodhan was very envious. He was a very envious person. He was actually a Rakshasa or a demon. And what happened is that, we go a little bit so that I can actually give a little bit more detail about what's actually happening in there. So what happens is that when they had the war with the Bali Maharaj had the fight with the demigods, right? And they won. But then Krishna came and defeated them, right? So what happens is that when actually the demigods are in trouble, what do? They take shelter of Vishnu. What about the demons? They get together again, go and regroup, and then they come back again. Just like Jarasandha. Every time he lost the war, Krishna left him alive. He goes back, gets another army, and then comes back and fights again. Right? He never takes help of Krishna. That's the nature of the demons. So what this demon says, okay, let's go and regroup. And they had to go somewhere so that they can regroup. So what they did was they came to a small planet known as the Earth planet. Right? So this is where they came. So all they said, okay, let's go and take part and we take care, they capture the Earth planet and then we're going to attack. Right? So they came here. So all these demons, Jarasan and all those, they just like Kamsa was in his previous life. Kalanemi, right? So these are all these people, right? Kalanemi was killed by Vishnu in the fight in there, right? So they all gather here, and Duryodhan is one of them, right? So Kamsa has already taken up the care of the Moon Dynasty, right? Chandra Dynasty, right? That's where Lord Krishna appeared, right? And the most powerful dynasty is the Surya Dynasty. And Duryodhan wants to take care of that. So if they take care of this, more or less they have taken care of the whole earth. Right? But he has a problem. The problem is the five brothers, the Pandavas. Right? So the idea is to get rid of them because these are the people who are in devotees of Krishna. So from the time of his birth, Duryodhan is trying to get rid of this. He's trying different things. He poisons them. He tries to burn them in the fire. You know, different things like that. You know, and eventually they lose in the gambling match, and they're exiled. So while he's exiled, he's not thinking, okay, they're exiled. Let's forget about them. No, he's still thinking about how to get rid of them. So he knows that Durvasa Muni is a very powerful yogi, and he gets pacified very quickly, but he also gets angry equally quickly, right? So he said, let's invite him, feed him nicely, make him happy, and then he'll ask for boom, and then boom, and then I said, boom, what am I going to do? I'm going to send them to the Pandavas, right? So this is what he does. So Draupadi had a quote. She got it from the moon god, Surya god, right? So this pot has a special quality. You can get whatever you want from it, right? And you can save as many people so it does not finish until Draupadi eats from it and washes it. Once he has washes it, puts it aside, that's it. No more food will be produced for the rest of the day. Duryodhan knew this. So what he said, he didn't, when Durvasa actually asked for the benediction, okay, what do you want? He didn't say, go to them, you know. He was trying to say, okay, these are my brothers, they are in the forest, please go and bless them. It's very, this is the nature of the demons, right? They're very diplomatic, right? And so, and he also said, go at this particular time, knowing that Draupadi is finished eating at that time. And if she eats it and washes the pot, then that's it. And what are going to do? Duryodhana going to do? He's going to get upset and he's going to curse them. So that's the goal. So Draupadi had learned this lesson earlier, right? And the lesson was that she can't do things on her own. Whenever there is difficulty, you call Krishna. So when she was disrobed by Dushasan in the at the gambling time, if she had asked for Krishna right in the beginning, then she wouldn't have had to go through all that. She only called for Krishna. She tried her best to actually stop all this, right? But only in the end, when she knew she has lost the battle, that's when she surrendered to Krishna. And Krishna provided that cloth, just like, you know, that's when he came and helped. So this time she knew. As soon as Duryodhana Muni went there, Yudhishthira Maharaj said, okay, it's time for bhojan. You know, he said, I came to actually take prasadam with you guys. Yudhishthir said, okay, no problems. Take your bath and come back and we'll take prasadam. And then he went to go to Draupadi and said, these people have come here, they're going to take prasadam. Draupadi said, I've already eaten, it's all worse, we can't provide anything, you know. And then there's a big problem. So Draupadi immediately remembers Krishna. And at that time, I think Krishna was taking prasadam in Dwarka. And he immediately leaves whatever he was doing and he comes to where the Pandavas are. And he says, I'm hungry, you know. And Draupadi said, what are you talking about hungry, you know? I already got a problem here, you know. There's 10,000 of them here and you also hungry, you know. And he said, no, no, get me something. He said, no, nothing, I washed it. He said, get the pot, you know. And then from that pot, he takes a shark, one small piece, and he eats that. And then when he's satisfied, what happens? Everyone is satisfied. Right. And then even Duryodhana and none of them come there. Because they think that, okay, if we go there, if we can't eat, what's going to happen? So they took off. So the point was that if Krishna is satisfied, then we all will be satisfied. If Krishna is happy, we'll all be happy. Right? Because He's the source of happiness. Everything comes from Krishna. Right? So that's what you have to do. This is what devotional service is. Main point is to please Krishna. Lot of time devotees want to do things themselves. I want to do it, right? Something is happening, I want to be part of it. I want to cook for the Lord. I want to obey the Lord. What we should be doing is, what is best for Krishna? Isn't that right? So the idea should be, okay, who is the best person who can do it? This is the mentality of the spiritual world. This is what how the gopis see it. What do they see? How we can please Krishna? The best. And whoever is the best person to do a particular service, that's whom they put forth. And in the spiritual world, who is the best person? Radharani. So Radharani serves Krishna and all of us assist her. Rupa Goswami in Nectar of Devotion says, there's only one devotee. Who is she? Radharani. All of us are her assistants. Make sense? So that's the mentality we should actually develop. Let the best person serve Krishna and we assist. A lot of times we think that somebody is doing aarti and we are just here. No, anybody who is here and anybody who is there, they get the same benefit because you are taking part of it. This is the greatness of devotional service. Right? Just by being here, I'm giving a class, you guys are listening, same benefit. Right? Parikshit Maharaj was listening to the class. Sukhdev Goswami is speaking. Both got liberated. So we don't have to think that we have to individually do things to actually get to that level. What we have to do is, we try to actually help whoever is doing so that we can get the best result for Krishna. Now, so how do we do devotional service? So knowledge, as we actually explained, is chit, achit and ishwara. So we have to understand that the soul, there are many souls, right? But how many ishwara is there? One. There's one Krishna. He might have a lot of expansions. But there is only one Krishna, right? Many souls, and then there is this material world, right? Everything comes from where? Krishna, right? Krishna is the source of everything. So if you understand this, then whatever we see, we can relate to Krishna. Prabhupada did not name this movement International Society for Krishna Consciousness. He said Krishna consciousness. That's the most important thing, right? The consciousness is the most important thing. It has to be Krishna consciousness, right? If we can understand this and if we can build our consciousness, just like Prahlad Maharaj, when he saw the Kamba, the post, right? What did he see there? He saw Narasimha Bhagavan there, right? Lord Narasimha Dev there, right? So if we look at it, Krishna is everywhere. But it's our consciousness, it's the vision we actually see it in. Right? Because all these things, the material world is made from Brahman. Right? Where did Brahman come from? Krishna. Right? So if you look at it, it's a combination, it's a connection to Krishna. Right? What is the effulgence? Those are qualities of Krishna. So when the qualities of Krishna enter into something, right? That's when the form comes in. That's where the combination, the energy and the energetic, the quality of Krishna enters into the energy, right? And something, just like this mat. You're sitting on those mats. Why are you sitting on it? Because it's soft, right? It gives you warmth. Right? So those two things, right? So what are those qualities? Softness and the warmth. Where does it come from? Comes from Krishna. So Lakshmi Devi takes the form, right? And Krishna's qualities enter there. And that's how we get that softness or soft mattress or the carpet. So if you understand this, then you can see Krishna everywhere. You can see Krishna's qualities. These are because Krishna's strength is there, right? Light is beauty there, all lightness in there. So this is the way we have to start training our mind. We have to start seeing Krishna everywhere. Otherwise, what we do is, when we do the deity worship, when you come to the temple, when you listen to the class, when we are chanting, these are places when we are directly involved, right? There's a direct connection to Krishna, right? This is devotional service. But the rest of the time, as soon as you walk out, then our consciousness goes away. Then it's us. It's my family member, right? It's my job. What we have to do is we have to start connecting all these things to Krishna. We start seeing that we are just part of Krishna. Krishna actually explains in Bhagavad Gita, he says that everything is done by the three modes of material nature. Right? So if you understand that the soul is just sitting there, it's just like in a car, you are a passenger, and everything is happening by the driver, you think the driver is the three modes of material nature, then you are just a passenger. Right? You are not doing anything. And if you are not doing anything, then you shouldn't be worried about the result. Because if you are not doing it, it's not my result. Everything is done by three modes of Maitreya, or it's done by Krishna, and the result goes to them. Then you don't get attached to it, and you also don't get any reaction to it. As soon as you say, this result is for me, I am the doer, that's when you get reaction for it. As soon as you say, I am not the doer, everything is done. So what happened is the consciousness is saying, you are still doing the activities, but the consciousness is that I'm not the doer. Everything is happening. The soul has nothing to do with this material world. Right? All we can do is, what does the soul can do? It's only one thing the soul can do. We can desire. So whatever you desire, Krishna sanctions it, the super soul sanctions it. And the three modes of nature, the demigods, they carry it out. Right? So if you look at it, there's a material world. Whom does it belong to? Brahman. Right? Krishna, right? Basically, it's Brahman, right? The demigods, who are they? Representative of Krishna. The three modes of material nature, does that belong to the soul? No. Right? The sanction of Krishna? Right? We have nothing to do that, right? If Krishna does not approve it, it does not happen. And then we are the little soul in there. So if you look at the five things, we are just so insignificant. We are not doing anything. Everything is done by something else. If we just understand this, the body is maintained by Krishna. A baby gets fed, right? Everything happens. Right? All you have to desire. So what you have to desire is how to save Krishna. whether it is in this material world, whether it is in the hellish planet, whether it is in the spiritual world, it does not matter. The idea is that we should save Krishna with love and devotion. Then we don't have to worry about, we don't have to be one of those 99.9% of the people who take so much endeavor, right? They meditate for 60,000 years and finally they leave the body only to come back. Right. So, what is the important things? We can't understand all this. The Vedas is so vast. All this knowledge that we are speaking about, how to actually become a yogi, this all are in the scriptures. So how do you know what to understand? This is where the acharyas come into the picture. They have given it. They have taken the whole scripture, they have taken it out and they have given it what is important for us. What is important for someone who is in this sampradaya? What is our goal? What has Srila Prabhupada given us? Srila Prabhupada has given us worship of Radha and Krishna. And a lot of sampradayas who worship Krishna. But Radha Rani is different, something specific to our. So we are all trying to eventually get to Vrindavan and worship, help Radha Rani in serving Krishna. And the acharyas has given us how to do it. So, those are the five processes. One of them is listening to Srimad Bhagavatam. The other one is chanting. Third one, deity worship, living in the Dham, and Srimad Bhagavatam, Sadhu Sangha. Right? Now, of all of these, what is the most important one? Chanting Hare Krishna. But to chant Hare Krishna, you need the association of the devotees. You can chant, if you just chant Hare Krishna, that's enough. You don't have to read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Because what happens is that Krishna is the knowledge. Right? And Krishna says, if you do any one of those processes, in due time, He'll really reveal that knowledge to you. Right? But we are not that good at chanting. Then we need the association of the devotees so they can tell us what we are doing is right, what is we doing is wrong. So they can correct us. Okay? Any questions? Any comments? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Just wish to refer to a section in the report. It says, when a living entity gives up the material covering, he remains a spirit soul. This spirit soul must enter into the spiritual sky to merge into the Brahman province. Why does it say that it must enter?
So, that is related to the topic it's in here. Right? So, there is the spiritual world and the material world. Right? So, when you disassociate with the material elements, right? So, you have to get out of the material world, right? So you have to go to the spiritual world. So the spiritual has two parts, the Brahma Jyoti and the planets. Right. If you want to go to the planets, you have to have a relationship with the Krishna, you have to know about Ishwar. Here these yogis, all they are doing is meditating on the super soul. They haven't built a relationship yet. And they still have this desire for being a controller and enjoyer. Right? So they still want to be God. In the spiritual world, there's one God, everybody is a seven. So until you realize that we are not God, we are just a seven, you can't go to the spiritual world. Right? So where do they go? They can't be in the material world. They can't go to the spiritual planets. So they end up in the Brahmacharya. And that's what that means. So this is also done by the Buddhists. Same thing, I'm not this material body. They disassociate with the material bodies. Jnanis do the same thing. 90, 90, 90, 90, I'm not this, and eventually they come to that, I'm not this material thing. So what do they do at the end of the life? They get out of this. But they can't go to the spiritual planets. They go to the Brahma Jyoti. Devotees are the only one, because they understand that there's a Ishwara, there's Krishna, and we are just the living entities, we are just the soul. They are the only one who can get out of this here, and they go there. When they go to the spiritual world, then there's a permanent residence. Because the soul has Sachit Anand. We need that place where we can enjoy that bliss thing. And we can't actually enjoy on our own. So if we go halfway, we come back because we can't go further out. But if you go to the top planet, then there's devotees there, everything is there. Why do you want to come?
Just with that part where you said the meditator on the Purma find the heart, does it not mean that they will have a relationship?
The super soul just observes things. They don't communicate kind of thing. Right? So it depends on the desire. Right? So if you see just as the super soul, right, and there's no relationship built there, just you see him. Because when you go to the spiritual, there are five kinds of relationship, right? One is the santaras, right? Which means you just appreciate a person. And to appreciate a person, you can appreciate from a distance. You don't have to be there. To build a relationship, you have to get closer. So if you have to be a servant or a friend, you have to get closer. This is more like a santaras. They're just from a distance. They haven't built up a relationship. And because they have this desire, I want to be the controller and enjoyer. So what they do, what the God going to do? If I want to go into your home, right, take everything and use it myself, right? What are we going to do? Are we going to disclose that information? No, I am God? No. Krishna is going to... So as the Krishna fulfills your desires. Whatever your desire is, that if you want to be that, okay, you want to get out of material world, I'll get you out of the material world. But if you don't want a relationship with me, and this is where you're going to go. So it all comes to your consciousness. If you do not understand that we are just a servant, as an Ishwara, right, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and our happiness is only by Him being happiness, because He's Ram, He's a treasure of bliss, there's a treasure house of happiness in there. Unless we can connect to Him, we don't get there. Any question? Yes, Prabhu.
We said that we should find the best person to do the service to make Krishna happy. Many devotees feel that they are the best doing the service and they want to do every service. While few devotees feel that I can't do any service good at all, we can't do any service whatsoever.
So?
So, can you explain this to the ends of the point?
So, it's basically, this is called humility, when you have knowledge, right? If you understand that somebody can do something better than me, and if you want to do something, that's nothing wrong with that. If you want to be directly involved in the service, there's nothing wrong with that. You might have the desire to serve the Lord directly, right? But if the opportunity comes, you know, humility is very important. If you don't have humility, you don't have devotion. Bhakti is wherever there is humility. If there is no humility, bhakti does not reside there. Right? They go hand in hand. Right? What does humility mean? Humility means I'm the most fallen. Everybody is more qualified than me. Right? And if you have some ability to do something, you do it. The idea is, if you want to, this is where it comes in later on. In the beginning, when we join Hare Krishna, we think we are the best devotee. But as time goes by, then we realize that there is other people have lot of qualification. And the idea is that to use everybody in Krishna's service. So whoever comes to you, engage them in Krishna's service. And somehow or the other. You might be good in something, the other person might be good in something. So if somebody is good in something, use them in that particular service. Right? That's the mentality we should slowly start developing. And it's going to take him a long time, because all the time we think we are the God, you know, we are the enjoyers, so we are the best. And we have been here for millions and millions of lifetime, and that's not going to go overnight. The other thing is that if you go to a lot of other sampradayas, they have got a system where you have to go step by step. To, you know, to do deity worship, you have to be born in a place. You get trained from birth to go and do deity worship. What about in our movement? You know? Somebody was a hippie, you know, a druggist, you know, right? 6 months later, he's on the water doing deity worship. This is the mercy of Nityananda Prabhu. He does not see people's disqualification. Prabhupada did not see people's disqualification. He just saw what people's ability was, how we can use somebody in Krishna's service. And this is the problem we're going to have here. Because more and more people are going to join here who do not have the knowledge and who want to do service. And those who have been here for long enough, the idea is, you sit back, use them in whatever way they know what is best. And gradually educate them, you know, how they can do it. Okay. Any other questions other than comments? Yes, Tom.
Prabhuji, you see that Prithu Maharaj exemplifies the deity worship. And whole life he was actually doing deity worship very nice way. But then when he exits the world, it sounds like he is actually following the Ashtanga Yoga process and he leaves the body. So why it has to be like that way? You know, why he could actually remember the Lord and could have exited the body, etc. Is he actually putting himself ahead of time to meet the body, or is he what has to happen?
See, different people, Prithu Maharaj is a empowered, right? Incarnation of God. So they come and preach different things at different times. Now in Bhagavad Gita, when this process of yoga was explained to Arjuna, what did Arjuna say? It's more easier to control the wind than to actually sit down and control the mind. Because this process basically means controlling the mind and dedicating completely to the spiritual world, right? Now, who is Arjuna, right? He also comes as Narayana, right? So Nar, what do? They sit down and meditate. They are doing exactly this process, but in a different age and a different in time. So all these personalities who come here, they teach you different things, right? The idea is this is what we can learn from them. And Prithu Maharaj is used here as a person who actually does Dhyan Yoga and goes into Samadhi, how to live their life at the end of right. But then from Bhagavad Gita we understand that that's impossible for us, especially in this age. So if you have all this knowledge, Bhagavatam is not only about devotional service. It gives you all different types of things we can do to get there. It also gives you the difficulties in there. And you can choose, okay, this is not for me, this is not for me, this is not for me, right? They do deity worship, and it also guarantees you, right? Because Prithu Maharaj was different. He had a relationship with God, right? He was doing deity worship. But he also understand that Mayavadis also do this. Mayavadis also have deities and they do full deity worship just like we do. But what is their goal? Eventually, to merge into, right? So they use the deities as a means to get to the end. Because that's what their consciousness. At the end of the day, it all depends on your consciousness, what you want to get. Make sense? You know about that story about that Brahman and Koba, the shoemaker, right? The Brahman was doing all this, everything, but he did not fight in God. Right, when Narad Muni went to Narayana and he said that it's going to take him 100 lifetimes or 3 lifetimes or something, 100 lifetimes to actually come back to God. And he said, I've been doing this for all my life. Why do I have to wait for 100 lifetimes? I might as well enjoy for the 99 one and then 100th one I'm going to dedicate myself so I can go back to God. While with the shoemaker, the Koba, he said that you're going to go after as many leaves on the tree. He was sitting on a banyan tree, right? There's thousands of, millions of leaves on the tree. And what did he say? Oh, my time is going to eventually come, you know. Krishna has thought about me. I've got a limited time. It doesn't matter, you know. Right? So it's all the consciousness. This is why it's called Krishna consciousness. What consciousness you are doing things? Are you doing things for yourself? It becomes karma yoga or karma. If you're doing it for Krishna, then it becomes devotional service. So the way to see things is everything you connect it to Krishna. You got a family. Whose family is it? You are the soul. Right? Is the soul belongs to you? Does the body belong to you? We, all our relationship with the family is related just to the body. You got $1 million in the bank, you die. What happens? When you take birth again, do you get that $1 million? That relationship is only with the body. The house you got, the car you got, the children we have got, it's all bodily relationship. But then you look at it the other way, then you can say, oh, nothing belongs to me, I don't care about anything. Then you look at the other way, we are all individual souls, everything belongs to Krishna, so you should look after it and we can use them in Krishna's service. So that's the mentality, right? All of a sudden, right, a mother changing the diaper becomes devotional service. Because she sees that that baby is not mine, that baby is Krishna. See, he has given it, that baby to me, and it's my duty to actually look after that baby. It's all consciousness, Krishna consciousness, how we see things. If we can relate everything to Krishna, then everything becomes perfect. If we relate, think that I am the enjoyer, I am the doer, then you have a problem. So, what consciousness you are? You want to merge into God? Eventually that's what Krishna will give you. You want to be void? You go at the end of Patalok. You know, there's nothing in there. You want to be a devotee? You want to actually serve Krishna with love and devotion? Understanding that Radharani is the most important person and we are there just to assist her, right? We become instrument in Krishna's service. You might be thinking, I'm speaking. I'm not speaking. Krishna is the knowledge. Right? Who am I speaking? Is the body speaking? Is this mic speaking? You can understand things in many ways. Right? When you do a cooking, right? Who does the cooking? People come and say, Prabhu, very nice prasadam, thank you very much. What did I do? I just put things in there. You know? Agnidev cooked it. Was it him? Was it the farmer who actually produced all those things? You know? Wait, who did the cooking? I was just an instrument. In Krishna's, in Radharani's service to Krishna. That's how we have to see things. That we are just instrument in Krishna's service. We are just insignificant. We just become, have to connect ourselves to be part of Krishna. How we can actually serve Him, how can we can love Him. Otherwise, as long as you think you are the enjoyer, you are the controller, you stay here. Okay. One last question, one last comment. All we done here. Tick. Shri Gaurinitai ki jai, Shri Radha Ballabha ki jai, Jagannath Ballabha Subhadra ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai, Panchakottaru Bhishcha Kripa Sindhu Yevita Pratitana Pani Vaishnavi.